Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me as I continue to broadcast live from downtown Cleveland, Ohio. I'm literally downtown, folks, looking out over the city square. It's beautiful here. People are coming and going. A lot of good things going on here in Cleveland. They've got challenges, as I said earlier. Cleveland is like all of us. We have, you know, we're not perfect. We got some rough edges we need to clean up a little bit. Most of us do, but it's come a long way from the last 30 years. And somebody who's probably been watching a lot of that is our guest this half hour, Gary Davis. He's president and owner of Aetna Plastics, and he's a small business owner who owns a plastics company. And Gary, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning. Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Now, of course, I'm not going to be the first person to ever say that magic word that Benjamin Braddock's the character in The Graduates, his father's friend, you know, came up to him as he graduated from college and said, "One word, Benjamin: plastics." Now, when you saw that movie, is that what made you get into the plastics business?
Yeah, all that, and my dad owned the company.
Oh, okay. Well, did your dad see the movie then?
No, actually, my father was a pioneer in the plastic industry.
Is that right?
He started the business in 1946.
Wow.
And we're celebrating our 60th anniversary this year in October.
Congratulations.
Yeah, isn't that something?
And that is
He started not only the plastic business, he also started our trades association, which is now called the International Association of Plastics Distributors. And we'll be having
father still with us?
No, Dad. Actually, Dad's been gone for 30 years.
Is that right?
I've been doing this a long time.
I see. You had to come on at an early age. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to, because of your father, his contribution as a pioneer and everything, I want to dedicate the rest of this show to the memory of your father.
Well, isn't that wonderful? That's
yeah.
Very
What's
kind
the,
of you.
Tell us his name.
His name is Paul Davis.
Paul Davis, and he was a pioneer in the plastics business. Not only that, but in developing the association. That's a very important thing to do, is to pull people together. And sounds like he was a leader in this country, not just in the industry.
Well, I'm very proud of that. And sometimes when you're younger, those things escape you, and as you realize, as you get a little older, the contributions that that generation made. They do honor him at our trades association by naming the Man of the Year award after him as well.
I'll be darned. Well,
yeah. So it's a big event this year, our 50th anniversary of the trades association.
Of the trade association 50th anniversary, but your company's 60th anniversary. And that's a great milestone. I love talking to family owned businesses. I just had Celia McGrath, who's in the chocolate business. They've got a family owned business. Yours is a second generation. You got a third generation coming along in the business?
Well, I've got a third generation, but I don't know that we're going to get that far, because my children are, I got married late, and I have a 14 and a 12 year old. And so I don't
got
know
a ways to go, huh?
Well, I don't know if we're going to make that one.
I got you. So, all right, tell us about what it's like being a small plastics company.
It's a lot of work. it's a lot of work. What's it like being a small plastic company?
Do you mind telling us your sales?
I'm sorry?
Do you mind telling us your sales level?
Well, we're about 7 million.
Yeah. How do you compete with the big guys?
Well, and some of our competitors are little companies like General Electric.
Oh, yeah, those guys.
Yeah, those guys. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
I think I've heard of them, yeah.
Yeah, they're an electrical, I think, make light bulbs. But anyway, yeah, they also have a plastic business, and they actually, about 5-plus years ago, they bought the number one and number two largest distributors in the world.
And they spend more than $7 million a day on lunch, don't they?
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely. I couldn't even imagine their telephone bills are more than that. Anyway, they have branches all over the world, and So that would be one of, that would be our largest competitor.
And what's an example of a product you make?
Well, you know, we're, Jim, to sort of give you a, you know, a little history on the company, we started out, actually my father started out the business as a company by the name of Plastic Manufacturing and Supply Corporation. And we did some plastic fabrication and built a few things and sold some plastic. And we really got out of the building end of the business and really stayed into the distribution. And he changed the name to Aetna Plastics back in the probably middle 60s.
Yeah.
And what we do and what we have done historically as we moved away from making things out of plastics was sell plastic to people who do make things.
Mm-hmm.
So,
hold on to that thought, Gary. We're going to take a quick break. We're visiting with Gary Davis. He's our new friend, the president of Aetna Plastics. And we're going to continue to get him to tell about what it's like going up against the big guys as a small company. I'm going to learn something from him, and I bet you will too. Right after these messages, it's 20 Till. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from downtown Cleveland, Ohio, at the American Chamber of Commerce Executives Conference, 2006 conference here in Cleveland, helping them get things going here and whoop it up on behalf of Chambers of Commerce, who then go home and whoop it up on behalf of small business owners. And somebody who knows all about that is our guest this half hour. Gary Davis is the president and the owner of Aetna Plastics here in Cleveland. And Gary, I know you're a proud member of the local Chamber of Commerce.
Absolutely.
What is it? What has it meant to you to be a member of this Chamber of Commerce, the Council of Small Enterprises, COSE, they call it?
You know, Jim, it comes down to having somebody that's fighting for you, somebody that stands up for you, somebody that believes in you, somebody that gives you the resources you need that aren't necessarily available to small business so that you can run your business successfully. You know, things like workers' comp, premium support and group ratings, educational programs, network opportunities, our health care plans allow us to supply our customer, our, you know, excuse me, our employees with benefits we could never do if we didn't have the COSE to back us up. It's like having someone out there looking out for you, fighting for you.
Right. Now, when we say COSE, folks, that's just the brand that they've named. That's just the name that they're using, that the brand that they've come up with for their local small business, the small business element of the chamber, and the Greater Cleveland Partnership is the larger organization. They got about 50,000 members here, folks, and I understand about 15,000 small business members, Gary, of which you are one, and I'm proud of you for doing that. But the chamber is not just what the chamber does for you. You have to be involved in the chamber to get stuff out of it too, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'd like to know just quickly what your involvement is here in with the local chamber. What do you do?
At this particular point, I'm a little less involved than I've been in the past, but I have attended a number of their different seminars there. They've put on different programs geared to presidents of small businesses or owners, operators of small businesses, roundtables. And I've never conducted one and put one on, but I've attended a great deal of them. They present these opportunities, and you have to take advantage of them.
Right.
They go away if you don't.
What would you say to someone out there across America right now thinking about, but they're not a member of their chamber, what would you like to say to them?
Get involved. Just be there. Show up. Get involved. Get to know people. Network.
Yeah.
Those network opportunities. Make the time for the lunch. Make the time for the early morning, you know, roundtable discussion. Make the time. It's time well spent. You'll recharge your batteries. You'll get, you know, new perspective. You'll have people to call.
Every time I have an opportunity to go do something, network, maybe it's next door, maybe it's across the country, that I have an opportunity to do that, my first instinct is I don't really want to go. I'd rather stay here. I got things to do. I got battles to fight. I don't need to take the time. But when I make myself go, I never, ever, ever go without when I'm through coming away saying, man, that was a good thing for me to do to be here.
Oh, you always get refreshed.
Always. 100% of the time.
Yeah, you always get more out of it than you put into it.
Yep. Yep, I agree. Gary, let's go back to your business. You were talking about the products that you make. You actually don't make plastics anymore, right?
No, we don't. We actually buy from large manufacturers, worldwide manufacturers. We are in the same business, and it gets a little more complicated than that. But our traditional business has been a distribution company with some value-added services. But it's very much like being in the steel service center business. If you wanted to build something out of stainless steel, 316 stainless steel, you'd call a steel service center and say, I need a sheet of stainless steel and I need a couple of pieces of bar stock. Mm-hmm. We're in the same exact business, except you'd call us up and say, I need a piece of polyethylene and I need some PVC rod because mm-hmm. you're building something. Mm-hmm. That's been our traditional business, but about 5 to 10 years ago, we started adding additional value-added services. You know, we've always cut to size and slit to width and such. You know, we started to punch some holes and do some assembly because more and more people, more and more of our customers, did not want to have those competencies in-house.
So they were looking for customization. In the previous interview, Celia McGrath's in the chocolate business, and she said one of the keys to their success has been customization for their customers, and that's what you just said.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, about 2 years ago, a little better than 2 years ago, and I started to mention to you a little bit ago that, you know, the dynamics of the business and the climate of the business has changed tremendously over the last 5 to 10 years. But we set a strategic objective, and this is another thing that I think people need to recognize, the value of setting some strategic plans for their business. We actually, about in the year 99-2000, we saw a lot of the writing on the wall. And we hired a consultant, and we spent 2 days in a hotel suite with our key people, and we talked about our core competence, what we did well,
strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and problems.
There you go.
I mean, opportunities and threats. I'm sorry, threats.
That's
yes.
right.
And SWOT method.
And we came up with some thoughts about how we wanted to proceed ahead with our business. And one of our goals was to either buy, acquire, merge, or whatever, with a increased value-added services for our customers. Our customers were removing those from their I see we're going to be.
Yeah, they were removing those, and there was a vacuum being created, and you were wanting to fill that vacuum.
Exactly. When
we come back, we're going to talk about how Gary did that, but also things were a little tough in 2000-2001 for him. We're going to get him to tell us, how did he pull out of that? How did he manage to stay alive after all those tough times? It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me. A little bit of Steely Dan for you.
I like music.
Yeah. That's Gary Davis, ladies and gentlemen. He's president and the owner of Aetna Plastics. That's A-E-T-N-A, Plastics. Give us the website, Gary.
It's www.aetnaplastics.com.
All right. What do we find when we get there?
Well, you're going to find a website that's going to be replaced in about 30 to 60 days with a new, improved, and better website.
Going to have the e-commerce? Will customers be able to buy stuff there?
That's the second generation, the next generation. We're at a point right now where we're making a transition to the framework that will let us get to e-commerce.
So this next step is going to have your catalog in it, right?
It will have catalog pages, technical information for download. What we have now is really a bulletinware, random information that's out
right.
there. It's not as good as it could be.
I got you. So the new one's going to have more of a catalog, more where people can shop and see what you got and that sort of thing. I want to come back to what we were talking about. And one of the things I want to do, though, is I want to make sure that we have an opportunity to talk about what happened in 2000-2001. Folks, the recession of 2001 actually began no later than the fourth quarter 2000. It may have actually started a little bit in the third quarter, but Gary, I know people who said that they thought their phones had been cut off around October or so of 2000, and all through that next quarter. And people that I knew that in August of 2000 thought that the money was never going to stop coming in by November didn't know if they were going to make be able to make payroll. What happened to you guys?
Well, that's exactly right. We were fat, dumb, and happy to the end of the 90s. I mean, you could do no wrong. Business was booming. Everybody was fat, dumb, and happy.
And you were so smart, weren't you?
Oh, gosh, we were brilliant. We were brilliant. But actually, we saw some of this coming. I won't tell you that we had a crystal ball, but we did see some things, changes in the dynamics of business and how business functioned. And we did a strategic plan in 99 and 2000. We really weren't able to fully implement it because in 2000, about August, September of 2000, we really started to see a slowdown. And you used the expression, someone pulled a plug on the phone. Mm-hmm. We wondered what the devil happened. We thought it was a minor blip there. We really did. And it continued to through all of 2000. And Northeastern Ohio, I think, was really dramatically affected because of its core manufacturing businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, there were a number of dynamics, but probably the most significant dynamic was outsourcing to first Mexico and then China and India.
Mm-hmm.
And the manufacturing industries just fled the shores here. They just fled
now. How did you recover from that? How often did you think? You know what? I got to decide. I may have to just lock the doors tomorrow.
There was a point in time, Jim. There was a point in time that that we were looking at any port in a storm. We were looking for merger candidates. We were looking for, to potentially even be acquired. We were looking whatever we could do to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And
to save the jobs.
Save the jobs. Unfortunately, we had to, at that point in time, have the first layoff we had had in over 50 years of being in business. We had never laid off anybody.
Hmm.
And it was after 9/11.
Yeah.
October of 2001, where it was brutally tough, and we had to come in and we had to reduce our labor staff by over about 25%.
Mm-hmm. And how did you recover from that? How did you get over that?
Well, we were, you know what, Jim, one of the fortunate things that we have always sort of adhered to is we live well, but we don't live foolishly.
Right.
And we've always kept our overhead low. We've always kept it in check. We've never built a brick-and-mortar monument. And we also kept some cash in the business. We kept some powder dry.
Mm-hmm.
And by having retained earnings in the business, we were able to survive.
That's important, folks, retained earnings. You've heard me say that before. Now you've just heard Gary say that. So you know that it's not just me when I tell you that whatever you can do, whenever you can, when everything turns to mush, then the retained earnings is what will sustain you. And Gary, I want to thank you for your testament today, for the information. You've taught a lot of people a lot of things. You've been a great inspiration to a lot of people today with your story. And I want to thank you very much for doing that.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
and also, I want to congratulate you again on 60th anniversary. Good for you on that. And also, I want to say that you're my hero.
Well, thank you.
Gary Davis, ladies and gentlemen, with Aetna Plastics. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, but I got another hour on the other side of the news coming right at you. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.